span with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into Thursday edition of Inside the Locker as we roll closer to the weekend. I'm excited about the weekend. I'm excited about tomorrow. Not excited that our TV here in the studio, Chase, does not work, but the Ryder Cup will be going on when we start the show tomorrow. So that should be exciting. I think it's going to be rain in there today, but I have a chance to maybe spend some time together. But the start's for real tomorrow, and then obviously great football over the weekend. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in the show with us this morning. The X account's at Locker One. Room 109 at Barry Sanderson at Wim Sanderson 1. You can also email us. That's the easiest way to get us as well. Or calling us the easiest way. But if you want to email, that's Wimp and Barry at yahoo.com. Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. They make this 7 o'clock hour possible. If you want to build the 5-star backyard, then go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. And if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. Looks like we may get some rain today, Chase, so that's a little different. I think everybody's yard needs a little bit of rain. Good morning, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. Fortunately, on Friday, I called Jerry Pate, and he's going to be on. For those of you that are much younger than I am, I think I'm correct. In 81, he and Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino in that group won the Ryder Cup. I believe that's correct. I haven't really checked it, but I think it's correct. And so Jerry's offered to be on, or not offered, I asked to be on, he said he would. And so we'll have him on Friday at 7:30. So that's a plus for us, I think, because he's a great player at university, and I was thrilled that he answered the phone and is willing to be on. So we'll see. Not a whole lot of news. Georgia starting tackle, right tackle, is very doubtful for the game on Saturday night. Lane Kiffin has come out and said he didn't understand why one of their three schools to play was Oklahoma. He's thrilled that they are going to be able to go against LSU. Of course, they're going to go against State. But he couldn't understand why Oklahoma was in the mix rather than, I guess, A&M or Texas. So he made those comments. That's the only thing I could find there. The defensive lineman at Bessemer, I don't really know whether Alabama and Auburn. I'm not sure about that. But Colorado came in. He's 6'4", 290, and got a verbal commitment from him, and said to be in their thinking their best commit for their team this year. Commit, or just. That's what they are commits. So we'll see what happens with the Ryder Cup the next day or two and see what happens there. Outside of that, we welcome pretty much your calls about anything that you want to talk about baseball. The hit 60 home runs. You only usually hit 60 home runs, pay off 59, 60 yesterday. I forgot who it was, but it did. So anyway, that's about it. I'm sure Barry has some things he wants to discuss with you, and we'll welcome your calls about the game. It should be, I think the line now is, I'm never getting it correct, but the line now is 3. I think that's correct. It could be, Barry may have it differently, but it's 3, I think. And so should be interesting. I've got about, I'm not going to announce them today, about four games that I'm interested in trying to look at. That's not one of them, but three or four games on there I think could be interesting for Blue Plate. So we'll do that. We'll have a so-called vinegar tip in the second hour.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's on ESPN, still showing 3.5. Has not moved. The Mississippi State line has not moved as well, so it's still 7.5. So I don't know. Did you guys get a chance to watch the documentary on Lane Kiffin last night on ESPN, The Many Lives of Lane Kiffin? They did a really good job. To me, it was very interesting to see him getting a start when he was at Fresno State. Literally, they had a quarterback come in. He thought he was going to play his senior year, and they had I can't even think of the guy's name. NFL quarterback came in, and he ended up going in and changing and becoming the wide receivers coach, and that's kind of where he got his start in coaching. But he and his dad, the relationship between them and all the places, and then all the stops from the Raiders to obviously Tennessee when he was at USC, they did so well, and they went to the Raiders. He and Sark were together, then to Tennessee, and what kind of happened there, and then obviously up to USC, and then getting fired by Pat Hayden, and talked about how that went down, and then Nick Saban calling him. And the thing they didn't go that in depth with it, but they did interview Nick Saban, and he talked about at the end where Lane Kiffin, what a good job Lane did. They were wanting to change their offense and go to more of a pro style offense, and how smart he was and how good he was for the program. Then the part where they had to let him go right before the national championship and hire Steve Sarkisian. And according to Coach Saban, he said it was a mutual decision because he was trying to work for Florida Atlantic and try to be the offense coordinator. I think he was late for some meetings, so they mutually agreed to kind of move on. I don't know if that gets enough attention. And Sark was thrown in to be the offense coordinator for the national championship. It was all very interesting, but how much he has matured here over the last several years. All his kids have moved, except for the one that's a volleyball player at USC. His ex-wife has moved to Mississippi. It was pretty interesting, to be honest with you. Comments on that?
Well, I think Nick rolled over it and didn't get to it. The pretty poor job he did in the second half against Ohio State calling plays. Naturally, you know, defensive people felt like they had him nailed in the second half because they felt like what he was trying to do was not as effective as it needed to be. So I think he went a little bit towards himself rather than I'm going to show you what we can do without maybe a little bit in that second half. I think Coach Saban feels that way too. I don't think he expresses that publicly, but from what I can understand, he does.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize. I knew he and his dad were close, but Monty Kiffin obviously was a great defensive mind, and he was with Tampa Bay and won the Super Bowl, but kind of bounced around with the different spots with him, and he had to actually fire him at Southern Cal. They weren't doing well, and I think it came from above the athletic director that he had to go. And then when Pat Hayden fired him on the tarmac, when he got that USC job, you know, they were hit with that probation. They took 30 scholarships from him and 2-year bowl ban. So the fact that he got that thing going as good as he did, I guess it was his third year, they were 3-2. They had just lost to Arizona State, and he was on the back of the plane and got a message to see Pat Hayden when they got off the plane. He said, "I'm not one that can wait." I walked up there, and Pat Hayden was asleep And his wife was sitting there, and when she, I don't know, he said she had tears in her eyes, so she kind of knew what was coming. So they land, they get in a room, and he's like, you know, come on, I mean, why are we trying to fire us now? We lost all these scholarships. We're 3-2. Let me at least have the season. And he says, well, I think it's too far down the road. Let me go make a call. And so Pat Hayden went and made a call. I don't know who that would have been to. I guess the president. And he came back and said, ain't nothing I can do about it now. And then that's when he said about Nick Saban reaching out to him at that point. He's like, why is he reaching out to me? I'm a fired coach. So really, Coach Saban did a lot for Lane Kiffin. And I think he maybe appreciated when he first got the job. Then they started having success, and then he started taking it for granted, like, hey, you need me. And now I think he probably looks back on his time here and says, man, what a great opportunity I had to learn under a great head coach, and he really saved my career. I think he's more mature now, and he can see that. I don't know. Anything about that?
Yeah, I agree. I happen to be able to go to the golf thing with him down in Gulf Shores, and he wasn't around any of the other coaches at all. He came down on the elevator alone and with a telephone in his hand, and just was not in the mixture with the other assistant coaches on that trip. I thought it was kind of interesting because I was sort of observing what was going on, and he had his up and down. I think you're correct. I think he got successful, and I think, you know, he got to the point that, you know, look at me, you can't do without me now. And so, you know, instead of looking back and thanking Coach for hiring him, I think it was a little bit of a disgruntled situation there.
Yeah, and then he said he stopped drinking, started doing hot yoga. He said, I wasn't sure how long I was going to stop, and then he's just kind of gotten into all that. Then his daughter and them move, and then, you know, he was doing really well at Ole Miss. The opportunity for Auburn came up, and his daughter didn't. She really liked it in Oxford and did not want him to go. And so they put together a collage of some video. They went to his office, showed it to him, made him cry, and then he said at that point forward he wasn't going to Auburn. And so he said, I'm not saying I hadn't decided before, but once – my kids did that, then and I do think now, and just I don't think Coach DeBoer is going anywhere, but I think if he ever decided to leave, almost after watching that, I know this sounds stupid, I think Lane Kiffin now, this version of Lane Kiffin is hireable at Alabama.
I don't think with this athletic director is.
Yeah. Well, maybe not with this athletic, but I think this version, people could get on board with it, this version of him. So anyway, I'd like people to call. I think people call and give their opinion. Do you think this version, and this is not the anything to do with Coach DeBoer and him leaving or this, but if a job ever did open, I will always say there ain't no way that he would ever come here or be able to hear. And then probably, I don't know. I think he's hireable here now. 2 minute truck, they're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and your stuff. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. It's 2 minute truck. Movers, who care?
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. A single car crash has on Tuesday night claimed the life of a 35-year-old West Alabama woman. Leah confirmed Latori Law of York was killed when her Chevrolet Malibu left the road, overturned on Alabama Highway 17 at 7 miles from York. Leah said Law was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic. Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Looking at a stalled vehicle in Vance. That's on Skyland Boulevard, northbound at 2059. It's on the shoulder, and you're actually still green for go. And speaking of green for go, most areas are. Now we do have
fluffy, irresistible Kings of Wine sliders that make them a winner on game day. Pick some up this weekend in the bakery or deli section of your grocery store. Kings of Wine, there's nothing like it.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Look out for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms through early tonight. The high today, 82. Tonight's low, 66. Or tomorrow, partially sunny with only a small chance of a shower. The high, 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9. And online on Tide100.9.com.
Inside the locker, thank Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I'm gonna get to Philip here just 1 second. I guess he'll be all right. I won't say his, I don't know his last name. Nolan, you guys are listening out there and you want to advertise with us, this is a good reason you should. Nolan from Spring Hill, Tennessee. Now, where is Spring Hill, Tennessee?
Spring Hill, Tennessee is up, go through Florence. It's on up around Nashville area. I think that's right.
Yeah, so he sends an app message yesterday. Just a quick shout out to Tuscaloosa Toyota. I'm the one who drove down from Nashville, Tennessee, to buy that car from Justin. Process was very easy. Started at the website to find that I was what I was looking for. A big selling point for me was they included the lifetime powertrain warranty. Contacted Justin and worked out the details, drove down and picked it up. Happy with the price and easy to purchase. So there you go. There's advertising paying off for Tuscaloosa Toyota. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Philip?
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you, bud?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Okay.
I'm fine. I tell you, you know, Lane was the guy I was hoping Alabama would have hired back when all that went down with Coach Saban. And I thought that was going to be the move, but it came pretty obvious, you know, that day that Coach retired that it was probably not going to be him. But I think he's the kind of fan, kind of coach that Alabama fans love. You know, he has sort of the same characteristics, in a sense, communication-wise, that the Saban folks had. You know, Saban was sort of open with us. We got to know about Miss Terry, and we got to know about the grandkids, and, you know, where he lived in his lake house and all that stuff. And he was sort of more open than people realize, and had a great personality. Is very interesting, and, you know, and Lord knows Coach Saban could recruit. And I think Lane matches all that, and I thought that he would help, you know, raise a bunch of money for the football program. I still think he could do that. But what we don't know is Joe Q Public Fan in East Egypt, Alabama, and wherever is, you know, I don't know if it was a situation that Byrne didn't care for him or if there was somebody else really powerful that told Byrne that ain't happening. That's what I don't know.
Well, I think his life wasn't in order like it is now. I think he was probably doing some things off the field. He probably shouldn't have been going to some places he shouldn't have been. So I don't think he was hireable at that point. He wasn't hireable. I'm not saying he is now, but I think this version is hireable. And he talked about, you know, coming here as a coordinator, that he'd worked for Pete Carroll, and Pete Carroll kind of let him do whatever, where Coach Saban was chewing him out, you know, and he said he finally went to Coach and said, why do you lose it so bad? And Coach Saban said, I'm one that when it happens and I'm mad, I got to get it. I got to go to the person right then and get it off my chest. And then I move on. He was like, okay, well, that would have been nice to know. Why are you in? He said, there is no playbook for working for Nick Saban. But he said, had I known that, then maybe I wouldn't have taken it as personal. He didn't say it just like that. But and there's plenty of video of Coach chewing him out on the sideline. Because Coach, he said, Coach is not one that can wait. And that's what Coach told him. He said, I don't wait. I get right to it then. I get it off my chest, then I move on. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Right. Well, you know, it'll be interesting to speculate if it comes to it here in the future. I just don't know what will happen. I don't think we've heard the end of it, personally. And I don't think we've – I think it may be sooner than a lot of us dream that this topic might be back in the forefront. I really do.
I don't – after watching that video, I don't know how old his daughter is. And his son just moved there, and he's in high school. If he ends up going – I don't think he's leaving till those kids are out of there. I think they're kind of got their family there now, and I don't think he's going to pick them up and go anywhere. He ain't going to Florida.
I think you also have to, both of you have to remember that when your athletic director hires a coach, he goes to the last straw with him. He doesn't move on radio to personalities or coaching personality. He goes to the last straw because he doesn't want to feel like he made a mistake, and that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not saying I don't think Coach DeBoer's any kind of trouble whatsoever, and I'm not even saying I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's going to Florida. His name's going to come up if that Florida job opens. I don't see him leaving Ole Miss right now with his family situation.
Yeah. Well, Barry, let me ask something. I read last night about that Gordo Pickens County game getting canceled after 100 years. And I saw that article and I read it. And, you know, I hate that happened. But at some point, these schools probably need to drop this theme day stuff that they do because it always screws up.
Yeah, and I got a buddy that knows everybody in that area, and he was telling me about it yesterday. And if you want to take something – and turn it into race. I just think we take everything now, we turn it into race. It was these cheerleaders, there was no intention of that being anything racial, in my opinion. And I think adults now, they overreact to this stuff. These kids didn't take it that way. And so to cancel the game, to me, was a little bit ridiculous. Just, and of course, something could have happened because people, if you say it's about race and make it about race when it wasn't, then some people may take it that way. I thought it was ridiculous for them to cancel that game.
I did too. I thought that was really just ridiculous. And, you know, I don't know what, you know, they said they did it because of utmost concern for safety and all that stuff. But I think at just some point, you just got to say, hey, you know, we're just going to play the games. We're not going to have these dress-up days and all that because you'll read about it happening all over the country. And it just seems like there's always a foul-up somewhere. But I am sorry the game got canceled.
Yeah, I mean, these seniors on those teams, they'll never have – that game's been going on forever. And these seniors don't have the opportunity. That's like I have a basketball program here, and I'm not playing the two schools here in this area, Hillcrest or – County High, and I want to play them for whatever reason they don't want to play. And I think it's ridiculous. I mean, we have a hard enough time getting great crowds. And those games, those four games, home and away, would be sellouts. There's no reason not to play. It's not about us. It's about the players. And I get why County High maybe doesn't want to play Northridge and football because their region is so tough, and basketball, you're playing 30 games. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
So,
and you're right. The crowds would be great. Plus, it's good for basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good for basketball.
So, anyway, well, don't get me started on that.
Don't get me started either, Barry. I'm Anyway.
All right, Philip.
Anyway, good luck to you guys. See
Thank you. All right, you looking for lunch plans? Thomas Rib Shack. They'll also take great care of your game day. Get your soul food fix. Eat at Thomas Rib Shack for barbecue. Great barbecue we had over the weekend. Local soul food. They got the vegetables right there, man. You go in there, you can pick out whatever vegetable you want. They'll be hot, piping hot. Absolutely tastes great. The best fried okra in town. Even Dad says that. He knows his okra. You're looking for barbecue, pork, ribs, catfish, pork chop, baked chicken, whatever you need, they got it for you. I highly recommend if you're coming to town next weekend, swing by there, but also make that your tailgate food there. They'll absolutely take cake care. You Sharon over there does a terrific job, Sharon and Jimmy. 205-759-5010. You can go to the website, thomasribshack.com. They also deliver, or you can order and go pick it up right there. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Looking at a stalled vehicle in Vance. That's on Skyland Boulevard northbound at 2059. It's on the shoulder, and you're actually still green for go. And speaking of green for go, most areas are. Now we do have...
Assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. Build the five-star backyard. You only do that with Yellowwood. Go to Yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. He's the owner of TheBigSpur.com. Joins us every Thursday. Several podcasts he'll talk about at the end of the segment. J.C. Sherbert. Good morning, J.C. How are you, sir?
Hey, J.C.
Good morning. Good to be with you fellas today.
Go ahead, up.
What is the difference between Georgia and Alabama and Georgia and Clemson? And the reason I make that statement to you is Clemson tries to be a little bit like the Georgias in that their feelings with their players are, you're here, we care about you. Regardless, you know, we don't like if you leave. Georgia's got a better hold on things maybe there. And maybe Georgia versus Alabama for me, before you answer it, is toughness on one side of Georgia, maybe not showing toughness on the road. For Alabama, what's the difference in Georgia and Alabama and Georgia and Clemson?
Well, as programs, you know, you look at things through the scope of Nick Saban and after Nick Saban at Alabama. You know, they're a program right now that's they're kind of inconsistent. You know, with the losses on the road to unranked teams during the DeBoer era, it's just they're not as consistent. With Georgia, they are consistent. I think they're at the point now where, you know, heck, like last week or when they played Tennessee, you know, they're not used to giving up 41 points in a football game, but yeah, they just outscored them, you know, so yeah, they're winning in different ways. And I think winning programs do that. You know, I don't think this Georgia or Alabama team, I mean, are the best that we've seen, you know, through the last 10 years or so by a good bit. But there's that winning, you know, attitude or winning kind of feel baked in the cake at Georgia right now. Whereas at Alabama, under DeBoer, it's been very inconsistent. They're much better in Tuscaloosa than away from home. And this game, of course, is in Sanford Stadium. This is the first time Kirby Smart's played Alabama at Sanford Stadium.
Yes.
Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
You know, so it's a good opportunity for him to get a monkey off his back. And then you ask about Clemson. Clemson's different than both of those. In the sense of how Dabo's elected to build his roster, as far as not hitting the portal, but also retaining a lot of transfers. You know, they spend money. They spend money on retention and, you know, at times high school recruits as well. And that's a little bit different. And that's what makes it so surprising that Clemson's 1-3 and has looked very discombobulated, because – that's a veteran team with guys that have been in that program for a long time. And that, you know, based on last season, kind of looked at it and said, well, that's what Ohio State did. And they added some pieces like Clemson did. And that's how this is working. But it has. So I don't know. I think we're in the portal era, expect the unexpected, right? And so we got to get a few more years down the road before we can kind of determine anything. But right now, I think that with Georgia is the consistency. With Clemson, I think Clemson probably is about to run off like a 6 or 7 game win streak, just to be honest, if you look at their schedule. But I thought they'd beat Syracuse too. So I don't know. But with Clemson, you have to wonder if they're kind of flipping, you know. They're certainly not what they once were. And then with Alabama, it's just a matter of being more consistent. They're the most consistently winning program in college football for 17 years. And so that's got to be jarring on that end. Now, one thing they have consistently done is beat the Georgia Bulldogs. And so if they can win Saturday, there's a step toward consistency. It's a road win. It's win against a
team,
all that good stuff. So that would be kind of how I see all three of those programs right now.
You know, I hear people say, like, before the season, Florida State, well, they got, I don't know how many, 50 new transfers. There's no way they'll be on the same page. I think sometimes, and then you talk about Clemson, they got everybody back. I think that's overrated. If you can play and these coaches get you in there, I think these guys come in there. Sometimes when it's your second chance or third chance, you're trying to learn a new system. You're trying to make sure you get on the field. Those guys are more tuned in, JC, to try to win the job, try to learn what's going on. And those teams seem to almost be playing better. So I think it's overblown when you get a bunch of new guys. If you get the right guys, that people say that you can't get your team together because it's all new, and where Clemson, everybody thought before the season, because they had everybody back, they were going to be clicking from the beginning. It's looked like the exact opposite of that to me.
Yeah, here's the thing about it. You know, we're in a world where everybody wants to get paid. And, you know, with that, you know, obviously older veteran players these days, because they all have agents that are in there all the time, you know, you can get in the portal and make this money, and, you know, to stay, to keep their players, the programs have to pay. And you have to wonder sometimes, does complacency set in? Whereas, like Thomas Castellanos from Florida State, you know, this is probably it for him. You know, if he doesn't do well in the Malzahn system, you know, play well, it's probably just like, okay, he was once good. There's a lot of players like that. I just don't know, Barry, if this is like a one-year thing, because here's the other factor last year compared to this year is COVID. All these guys from last season were old. They had the COVID year in 2020 when they were young freshmen, fifth or sixth guys. There's still guys like that around the sport, but not nearly as many. And so the whole sport is trending young. And so I don't know that maybe that doesn't have something to do with it as well. That doesn't explain Clemson at all. But it could explain why some of these teams that, you know, hit the jackpot in the portal, they're all kind of locked in and all that good stuff. So it's an interesting year so far from that standpoint as far as, you know, and you know, we kind of live in a world where, too, in college football, we're all just going to go based off what the most recent thing is because nobody really knows. And so if these teams that did well in the portal, I think right now the top seven portal recruiting classes are 27-0, then that's going to be the key to winning next year. Everybody's going to judge you on how good your portal class is and then predict accordingly. But we don't know that next year some of these young guys are getting better. They stay at their school, and then it's better to have a bunch of returning guys. You just don't know. And then the money, I think, has impacted players individually. They're young. They're in college. They still have a lot to learn. They still need to play hard. But some of them, frankly, play like pros now. Like, they don't want to get hurt. They make business decisions and all that. And coaches don't have a ton of recourse because there's a wide-open transfer portal that they could leave at any time. So it's going to be interesting to follow, but I see a lot of that happening around the sport.
I don't know if you got a chance to see the deal on Lane Kiffin last night. I've talked to Dad. He didn't see it, so I've been telling him about it. But, and I don't think he's going anywhere because his kids and family are there right now. When his kids get done, I think last night's deal and maybe the way he's changed his life, if this continues, will open up so many opportunities at places that would have never hired Lane Kiffin 3 or 4 years ago to where they might do it now. It looks like, you know, I even told that I always said Alabama would never hire him, and Greg Byrne probably wouldn't, but he almost looks this version to be hireable at Alabama, hireable maybe at any of these big programs, Ohio State. Do you agree to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like I just said. Sometimes you get older, you get smarter, right?
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin, probably the worst thing that ever happened to him was getting the Raiders job when he's 34 years old. You know, that was never going to work, no matter how good of an offensive coach he was, Al Davis and all that. And then you slide right into the Tennessee job, and then, you know, when you're young, sometimes you kind of crave that instability. But when you're not living right, you also crave some instability. I mean, I know that from my own life. But stability is very important at any age. You don't always seek it out when you're a younger person trying to find your way and all that. And, you know, what I took away from it was he's found that stability and sought that out, and it's made his life better. The consistency and all that. So I'm not saying he'll never leave Ole Miss. I just think it's going to, like Florida, you know, if they fire Billy Napier, I'm sure they'll give him a call.
Yeah, he ain't going.
But I bet he's going to look at that and be like, how many good coaches have gone there and just fell flat on their face? Good coaches, bad coaches, whatever. You have to be elite, like Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, to win in Florida. Dan Mullen's a great football coach, right? He averaged 10 wins a year, had one bad year, and got fired over recruiting ranking. So, yeah, that's an unstable situation, you know. So, you know, even Alabama, with the challenges that job has when you're not winning every single game. You know, so I don't know. If the right fit came up for him, I could see it happening. But what is the right fit? Because at Ole Miss, 9-10 wins a year, they're thrilled. They love Lane Kiffin. So, in a small town right there, I mean, I don't know. He seems like he's got it made. You can almost feel it.
Yeah.
With him, and you know, just as far as your feelings for fellow man, you know, that guy's figured it out. But is he hireable now? Like you said, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't want this new and improved version of Lane Kiffin? I mean, he's got personality. He's a great offensive coach. People love offense. He can recruit. I mean, he checks a ton of boxes.
Yeah, that.
If Georgia plays a little bit like Oklahoma played against Auburn, where they try to, you know, run the passer. Alabama's got the quarterback that can, if they don't succeed and Alabama does block them, they've got the quarterback that can throw it in their kids' hands. Comment on that. I think, you know, I think, of course, Kirby's very smart and he may not do it that way, but I think it's interesting to see. You've got to get to the quarterback at Alabama, I think, to hurt him some. And also, of course, the running game has got to go good too. Comment on that.
Yeah, you got to get him kind of off out of his rhythm. He's a very rhythm oriented player. Now, this season's Gunnar Stodden is a lot different than the one we saw last season. He's way more consistent. Kind of looks like he knows when to run, when to throw. They're better at wide receiver than they were last year. But, you know, I know Mike Bobo likes to run the football, though, so they're going to kind of probably line up and do it. Alabama's defense is a little bit, had some struggles with guys, quarterbacks that can run, if you notice, during the DeBoer era. So that would be a job number one for me if I'm Bama. Just, you don't let Gunnar Stodden hurt you with his legs, you know, make him pass, pressure him. But that starts with stopping their I formation power run game that they've been running for 20-something years. Because if you don't stop their back, you know, your shot is going to get you on some. So I think just stopping the run in general and then getting to those passing downs where you can pressure and blitz and make him sit in the pocket and hopefully make mistakes, I think that's the way to go.
You know, Saturday night, 11:30, around there when that Georgia game, Alabama game ends, one fan base is going to be static. The other one is going to be upset. If it's Alabama, they're going to say, oh, we made a mistake. This guy can't win on the road. If it's Georgia that loses the game, they're going to talk about Georgia can never beat Alabama. Kirby can't beat Alabama, this, that, the other. There's going to be a lot of overreaction one way or the other. Which way do you see this game going, JC? Do you have a feel right now for it?
Yeah, you know, my thing is, we had a high scoring game last year at the end of the day. I think it's going to be high scoring because I don't know that I necessarily trust either defense right now. Georgia's very young on defense. We saw Tennessee go up and down the field on them. That system's hard to stop. You know, but they're at home. I think Georgia's going to win the game, and I don't mean to disappoint anybody over there.
No, it is what it is.
Just because the law of averages, it all equals out sometimes, you know. And, you know, Alabama, the last half of football they played against Georgia, I think they outscored, like, 34-7, you know. And I think, crazy enough, that's going to give Georgia some confidence. In the game, you know, you went over Tuscaloosa last year, you got waved, I got ambushed and then settled in and actually played really well. Should have won the game. Like I said, I think it helps being at Sanford Stadium. Tuscaloosa's been a nightmare for the Dogs. Playing them in Atlanta has been a nightmare for the Dogs. But they haven't been between the hedges since, what, 08?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where that was a statement game for Nick Saban. That's when they got up 30-0 at half and won with Georgia had the black uniforms. So I think you get out there, get that crowd going, and it's gonna be a challenging environment for Alabama on Saturday. So, you know, what does it mean as far as DeBoer winning on the road? Well, I don't think Georgia's lost a home game since 2019, so they've not lost a home game this decade. So what it means is you just went in there and lost like everybody else.
That's right.
So that's what it means. You know, and it also means obviously two losses. You know, you're still in the hunt for the SEC because you only got one conference loss, but the margin for error starts to get a little bit thinner if you lose Saturday night.
Yeah, no doubt. That.
The three-team parlay that you're going to play, were you surprised that Lane has come out and said he's bad to have LSU? Didn't understand why they gave him Oklahoma. It wasn't a rivalry there, as much a rivalry there, crowd-wise. Any other games, or that may, you may disagree with what he said. Any other pre-parlay shock you as to how it went down?
No, not really. You know, people are given, you know, what they seem to do is just go with, you know, most of the rivalries, right?
Sure.
Now, Ole Miss didn't get Vanderbilt. That's supposed to be a rivalry for years. When Ole Miss and Vandy were permanent opponents, they used to be like, oh, this is an old ancient rivalry. Vandy got Mississippi State. So that was, so they ended that. Florida and LSU haven't wanted to play in a long time, so I'm not surprised that one's ending. You know, maybe a little bit, you know, I mean, Tennessee got Vandy, Kentucky, and Alabama. So that's Kentucky, they play Kentucky for what, the Bourbon Barrel or something? So that's a trophy game. You should probably play it. But, you know, kind of a little bit surprised, like, you know, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina are all playing each other. And that's three of the teams that have ACC – that's all of the teams that have ACC rivals, the end-of-the-year big-time in-state rivals. So that was interesting that they grouped those four schools in with each other, that, you know, because Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Kentucky are all playing one another. I thought that was interesting. I thought maybe they'd give Florida, Tennessee, and Kentucky would have somebody else. But I understand if you're Kentucky, you know, just for ticket sales, you still want to play Tennessee. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I thought that was an interesting part of it.
Lastly, where is Shane Beamer as far as the South Carolina fan base? I did see, I think it was real, him kind of biting back at Bill Gunner on Twitter, which kind of surprised me, that something about, I guess, the quarterback in some kind of meeting asked about the uniforms or something, and Bill tried to make something out of it, and Shane went at it. Whenever you start going at the media, I don't know, sometimes bad things can happen there. Where is the relationship between the media and Shane Beamer and the fan base and Shane Beamer? I like Shane, but where does that stand?
Shane's got a great relationship with the media. I mean, he's always accommodating, you know, does all kinds of interviews and things like that. I think what got him the other day was he kind of told a joke, you know, in a press conference.
Yeah.
He was like, we had a meeting with Lenore Sellers, and, you know, explaining about, because everybody's starting to question leadership, which is, I don't know, man. With South Carolina right now, it's an easy game. You hear these coaches talk. It comes down to blocking and tackling. They're right. And if you look at South Carolina, they're doing neither. If you can't block and tackle, you're not going to win in college football. I don't care who you play. And that is coaching, and they deserve criticism for it. But everybody wants to reach for these intangible. You have one reporter in that press pool that literally never asked a football question. She just asked about leadership and intangibles. And I guess she's trying to capture the human side. And I'm like, nobody cares about that right now. It's blocking and tackling. And so he answered the question, his third leadership question, truthfully, and then made a little joke. You got to know Shane. Now, Bill Gunner, who is one of my best friends, he was at my wedding, and a great guy. What he did was comment on Brad Crawford, who stirs the pot on Twitter all the time. And I don't think half the time Brad really knows what he's putting out there, because he kind of tries to backtrack and tweets what he doesn't mean. This is why I don't tweet. I just retweet dog pictures and things like when y'all put, you know, hey, JC's got an interview. And every now and then I'll wish somebody, well, I don't tweet, right? Because you can't win. But Brad Crawford had put it out like it's shocking news. And so Gunner saw that tweet. He wasn't listening to the press conference because Gunner's on the air during that time.
I got you.
And just commented on it, you know. So not trying to stir the pot, but unfortunately Shane saw Bill's tweet and not Brad's tweet and commented accordingly. So it was, I mean – I know Shane Beamer. I know Bill Gunner. You know, there's no bigger Shane Beamer fan than Bill Gunner and vice versa. So, but that's what happened. If I don't want to blame Brad Crawford because I like Brad too. He's a friend of mine. But that was on Brad trying to kind of put that out there quickly. And Brad loves to stir the pot on X, and that's good. He's paid for it, and that's good. But that's my theory as to what happened. But Shane will respond to something if he thinks it's unfair. And I don't mind that, but the fan base, when you're not playing well, you know, they can kind of go, oh, well, this is a waste of time, you know. And I'm like, well, if that 15 seconds it took for him to type out that tweet is going to keep him from tackling well Saturday night, I don't even know what you're doing. So, you know, I don't think it's that
bad. Yeah, I just think you got to be careful when you're
– oh, I agree.
Because you go after and then, you know, it's like Dave Odom one time went after – the crowd, the attendance, and then we weren't playing that well. So then they turn on you when you do that. You're better off just not saying anything.
Oh, yeah. Never talk about basketball attendance in South Carolina. I mean, you'll get a lot of brushback.
Yeah, so whatever. All right, JC, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right, we got a new JC and Morgan College Football Podcast. Get on Spotify, iHeart, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Also, elitemedianetwork.com. If you like the old Scott style Westwood One broadcast, my friend Mike Morgan is going to be calling Notre Dame, Arkansas this weekend. Check that out.
Thank you, JC.
Thanks, JC.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, there's JC. All right, we thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. They made the 7 o'clock hour possible. Doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want it. All right, phone lines are open the entire second hour. I want people to call. Am I overreacting? I thought Lane Kiffin made himself more hireable. JC agreed. Do you agree? Would you like to see him one day at your program, wherever that is? I don't think he's going to Florida. I don't think he's leaving Ole Miss anytime soon. You know, it's a Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Monsi Bolaños.
In baseball, all rise.
There you go. Here's the drive to right center field. He is going to do it. Giddy up, baby. Goodbye. Home run from the captain is second tonight. Number 51. That's 4 RBIs tonight. And the Yankees have an 8-1 lead.
Yankees Radio Network on the call. That was the final score against the White Sox. Cal Raleigh homered twice, bringing his total to 60 as the Mariners cruise past the Rockies 9-2. Seattle has won the AL West for the first time since 2001. Kyle Schwarber homered twice, bringing his total to 56 as the Phillies crushed the Marlins 11-1 to secure a first-round bye. Tommy Edman with the clutch RBI single in the 11th inning as the Dodgers edged the Diamondbacks 5-4. The Guardians defeated the Tigers 5-1 and are now in first place in the AL Central. Detroit has lost 8 in a row.
It's the Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC 10K Payday Giveaway. Win cash every weekday 8 to 5. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 282. That's 282. The code is 282.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app. Click on that Win Cash button for your chance to win $10,000.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, beeping up now with that we are inside of your prime time. And if you're moving up in Northport, coming on in toward the immediate area on 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road, you definitely are riding those brake lights back to Shenandoah Drive. Also moving on 43 southbound on Jamaica.
Try OpenPhone for free at openphone.com/try and get 20% off your first 6 months. That's openphone.com/try. openphone.com/try.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Look out for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms through early tonight. The high today, 82. Tonight's low, 66. For tomorrow, partially sunny with only a small chance of a shower. The high, 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the 8 o'clock hour of Inside the Locker Room. Dial us up 205-342-9904. We want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota, TuscaloosaToyota.com. We talked with Justin yesterday. You can do a ton on this website. You can start the financing. You can start the part about trading your car in. You can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory, schedule a service. You want to rent a Toyota, do it right there at TuscaloosaToyota.com. We'll swing by and see the guys, 3325 Skyland Boulevard. Get by there today and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, we'll get to the phone lines here in just 1 second. Dad, I want to ask you, I mean, if Georgia wins this game, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, they've won 33 straight there for a reason. So they're well coached, great players, great program. They win at home, great environment there. Is it important, though, how Alabama plays? Do they need to, if they were to lose, do they need to still go in there and play disciplined football, not a bunch of penalties, not a bunch of turnovers where they're in the game the entire time and then it ends up being a fourth quarter game and they were to somehow not win it? Is that important? Is to even how they lost? If they lost, if they go over there and play like they did against Florida State, then people are going to be real frustrated at that point. So I don't know. Just your thoughts about that.
Well, I think it is important that they play well. I think it's very important that they play well and they get after it and they play hard and the fans feel like that they got after them and they weren't scared of them and they were hard-nosed. I do think that if something happens that they do that and don't get by, don't win, that they need to be darn sure that they carry that same attitude over on the road against teams they could beat. For example, not on the road, but to be darn ready to play that kind of attitude against a Vanderbilt team that's a bad name, good team. Any time that you play bad name, good team, you have a very difficult time behind the scenes getting your team ready to play as well as they should. So if that's a situation where they play hard, they play well, they don't make it, they get beat 3 or 4 points if they do, or touchdown, whatever. But they carry that over to a Vanderbilt team that's good, then if they win, everything's okay. Not okay, but I think it's people will be down that they're knocked out of the 12. And they could be. The Florida State game is going to come back to haunt them quite a bit, because they were able to take Florida State's place a couple of years ago and things where it came down to a tie. Go pretty close. Not tie, but close. So I think they do need to play well, but they also do need to play well in the next game in case something happens that they slide a little bit against Georgia and Georgia wins the game. I think to me that's critical. You keep that going good, because here you are playing and this is in coaching. You don't say it to your fans, to your kids, of course. You know, you're playing bad name, good team. Is a very scary situation, because you have to convince your team. And certainly Vanderbilt can convince them because they beat them last year, so it's much better this time because Vanderbilt beat them last year. But there have been times when Vanderbilt's come in here and you hadn't thought much about them. So anyway, you take it one game at a time, one quarter at a time. And the interesting thing for me is that everybody criticizes the offensive coordinators, but the offensive coordinators have been fine in Alabama. The people at Georgia have been on Mike Bobo since day one. And I think he really, from what I can gather, what little I know about football, talking to other football coaches, does a really very good job. And the biggest thing I think that he does a good job with it, his head coach is comfortable with him. He's been comfortable with him the whole time, regardless Kirby hadn't backed off of him at all. So I think that's just an interesting point to bring out. But he'll be very good offensively, and Alabama's got to be. I keep talking about the pass rushes and all, but Alabama's got to be darn good defensively, because you've got in Georgia, you've got a little bit of a no-name good player in their quarterback, a little bit. No-name, pretty darn good, showed that in Tennessee game. So I think that's quite interesting as well.
Yep. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood hotline. We'll get Cowboy in. Good morning, Cowboy.
How you doing, Barry and Coach?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. Well, Barry, I really liked the Lane Kiffin East 360 special, whatever you call it, last night. I thought it was a good kind of a good documentary of Lane, and I kind of agree with your opinion. And I tell you what, his daughter sure is an attractive young lady, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Really is.
She could win the interview for him at any school he went to, I would imagine.
Yeah, supposedly she's dating one of LSU's players, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Wonder who she's pulling for Saturday, Daddy or her boyfriend?
I think Lane, they said he tweeted something about it, and it was a picture of some blood. So I think that's she calls him her wallet. So I would assume she's pulling for Ole Miss.
Pulling for Witt to make good plays, but Ole Miss to win.
There you go.
Well, let's break down that football game a little bit. You know, Lane does really well with developing quarterbacks. His quarterback over there now, the second string guy at Ole Miss, reminds me a lot of Blake Sims, what he did with him at Alabama in 2014. You know, that was one of the, even though we lost two games in 2014, that was one of the more fun years of offensive football in the Saban era at Alabama, because, you know, Blake could hit Amari Cooper on some of those throws, and my goodness, it was just, you know, Derrick Henry get the running game going, and well, that was fun. But I'm just thinking maybe LSU defensively is pretty stout. What do you think?
What was that last sentence? I'm sorry.
He says LSU stout defensively. He's talking about the LSU Ole Miss game. That line is creeping down to almost a pick. It's down to this morning down to 1.5. Ole Miss favored by 1.5. So, I think they were 3.5 at one point. Your thoughts
about that? They're better defensively than they have been. Well, they're good enough to do anything with Ole Miss and trickery, but they are better than they have been.
I think they've made some strides defensively. You know, a little bit back to Lane here. I think Lane and the Alabama job is somewhat like Howard Snellenberger in the Alabama football coaching job there in the 80s. He's a guy that everybody wants to a degree, but then there's always, well, they're never going to hire him, this or that happened. And you look at things that really have nothing to do with X's and O's and wins and football games that people are making their judgments on. In the game here, Barry, to win football games?
Yeah, but I mean, you can't embarrass the university off the field and stuff, though, as well, Cowboy. Right?
Well, when did he embarrass the university?
Well, I don't know that he...
Both guys. Because Howard Snellenberger, always there was talk about there was some little thing that happened with him back in the 60s, you know, and that people didn't want to hire him because of that reason. And something happened with Lane. You know, I think we're repeating history again after Coach Bryant passed away.
I don't think Lane was hireable, and I don't think Greg Byrne nor probably even Nick Saban would have endorsed that at that point when Coach got out. So I just don't.
Yeah.
It was just way. You don't fire a guy the week of the national championship if there's nothing there, Cowboy.
Yeah. I read some story where Lane, on the way back to Tuscaloosa after that Washington game, was worried that he was a cooked goose anyhow. So
yeah.
It got down, I can tell you this for a fact, it got down to Lane and the present coach at Auburn right now. And they went the way they went. For whatever, I'm not exactly why, but they did. So that was kind of interesting to me because I thought maybe they might go with the coach towards Lane there.
Well, you know, I guess I can go on in the deep water and say this. I'm getting word through sources and people in the coaching profession. I know y'all going to laugh at me, but I don't care. Cause I believe these people and it's a credible deal. And but that a lot of these kind of coaches that want to run the program and run the show, they don't necessarily want to work for Greg Byrne because he wants to be the guy in charge. And not say the coach. Like, you know, Nick Saban had unlimited way he could run the program. And the guys that have been trained through the Nick Saban system and the Kirby Smart system, they want to have complete autonomy to run the football program the way they think it should be.
Well, the greatest thing that Nick Saban ever did was hire offensive coordinators. One of the greatest, you know, his personality was great. His defensive coaching on both sides of the ball to some extent was big, and recruiting was bigger than both of those. But he did a good job in hiring coaches. He knew the kind of coaches that he wanted, and the coaches that he wanted were very usually, you know, there's always a slip up there somewhere. Hiring coaches is humongous. He did a terrific job doing that.
Right. You know, when Coach Saban got to Alabama, our offensive record book looked like something somewhat like a junior high. I mean, there wasn't a lot of big-time records in that. Coach Saban, in his 17 years, we played great defense, but he rewrote the Alabama offensive record book.
Yeah.
I mean,
He had some great players and the Heisman Trophy. I don't think he didn't have a Heisman Trophy winner to a guy. You also got to remember, Cowboy, you play more games. So if you play more games and you're going to rush for more yards, you're going to score more touchdowns, you're going to throw for more yards. They're playing, they used to just be a 10 game season. And you're playing 12 games now, and then you got the, SEC championship, then you get to the playoff. I mean, they're playing a lot more games now. So if you play more games, you're going to have more stats.
Wait. I think you can go back and look at the record book, and only about 10 years into Saban's tenure did postseason records start counting.
Yeah. You talking about torture stats?
Yeah.
When did we, I don't know this, where did we go from 10 to 12 games regular season?
Well, that was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Saban, we had a guy, I think A.J. McCarron had 35 touchdown passes in one season. And before that, with Mike Shula, that was the record book.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
What I'm saying is,
you're right.
He rewrote the record book. You know, another team, they've struggled at 1-3, but they're playing good defense. It's Florida. And you got Benny Sinceri coaching the secondary down there And they're playing pretty good defense. They're just not getting any offensive help. And then Robert Ballo, that was on Saban's last staff, that was thought of as a good linebacker. So they both were out at Washington last year with Jed Fish on defense, you know. And Terry took the Jacksonville State D coordinator job, but then when Florida offered him the secondary job, he went down there for that. But, you know, we've seen a lot of good football from Saban people and coaches and everything. And, you know, what I'm saying is going to be interesting Saturday. It's a day of great games, Notre Dame, Arkansas. That's not getting much talk. What do y'all think about that game?
I don't know, Dad. Let's see.
I think Arkansas is better than people around here think they are.
The game line's 3.5. 3.5 on that. And Arkansas is underdog at home. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas win that game. Would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Me?
Arkansas is good. Yeah. Arkansas
I'd be totally surprised if Arkansas won that game.
They may not win it, but Arkansas is better than you think. The name Notre Dame is staring you in the face, Cowboy.
I mean, that was such a fluke, them losing that game to Memphis, trying to get the ball, just run the clock out, kick the field goal, and the guy gets the ball punched out like that. Man.
Yeah, but Bobby Petrino did that 2 years in a row with Arkansas. The last 2 years he's been there, they blew that big lead at Oklahoma State last year.
Bobby Petrino didn't get the ball punched out.
He didn't play a lick.
Yeah, but his offense in the second half went stale. His offense in the second half went stale.
First of all, they should have never scheduled that game. That was a dumb schedule, Cowboy.
Y'all are trying to bait me into saying something here where you can make fun of me. But what I'm saying is they were up 28-10 on Memphis. It was in total control of the game, and they were about the same way, 27-10, I think, last year with Oklahoma State. In the second half, the offense went quiet. James, go back and look at it.
They should have won the game, Cowboy. First of all, they should never schedule the game.
Well, that's the AD's problem.
Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupid.
But, you know, I thought Memphis was going to cover in that game.
They covered. You didn't think that during the game.
Yes, I did. Even down 28-10, I said, well, I blew this one, but I thought it all the way going into the game. But that's why they play four quarters.
Yeah.
You just got to. You know, in that blue plate special, if you got them plus the points, you just got to, you know, let the clock run out. Sometimes you're just wanting your team to keep it within the point spread. That's all you're wanting them to do.
Yeah, what was the point spread? We got to go. What was the point spread on that Eagles game? The guy's going to kick the field goal, and they're going to win. The Rams are going to win. Oh. They block it, run it back for a touchdown to end the game. Did that flip the line? Did it flip the line?
I think it was 3.5 Eagles.
Wow.
So it covered the line.
Yeah. Wow. You know there's some sick people.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, Cowboy. I love your knowledge.
Bet on pro games, and you'll know what gambling's all about.
No doubt. All right. Hey, you agree with me about Lane Kiffin. So there we go. We're agreeing about something.
Oh, yeah. We're on board. I thought that was a good deal. I like Lane.
Yeah.
You know, I like guys that can rise from ashes and come back.
There you
that's
go.
The story of that's the American dream.
There you
I
go.
Love it.
Thank you, Cowboy.
I've had falls and down and up. You know, everybody. You know. Yeah. All right,
Tom. Hold on, buddy. We're coming to you when we get back from break. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Highway 69 southbound after McPherson Landing Road. You do have an accident, which is creating a long line of delays on 69. And we're also looking at tight traffic on Lurline Wide.
Busackley's Chicken Fingers, the only sack you can cheer for and eat. Can't fake the foo.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Watch Crimson Drive each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama cornerback Zabian Brown.
This year's where like that kind of stepped up, you know, we hanging out a lot more, doing things. Just building off the field chemistry, I feel like, is just as important.
You feel everyone's a little more comfortable this year, and it's not the coaching staff's first time going through game day in Tuscaloosa or getting through an SEC schedule, but for you as well, just everything's got to be a little more familiar, I would imagine.
Yeah, most definitely. You can even see how we practice in the spring. It was super different. Yeah, it was a special moment. Definitely will be remembered, and I'm just, you know, excited to be here.
Yeah, four games into your Alabama career, you have like a really signature moment. What was like the next 24 hours like for you after that ball game? Did you hear from a lot of friends, family, Alabama fans?
Yeah, my phone wasn't working for most of the night. It was pretty blown up.
I'll have more in a moment. Hey, Bama fans, each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, join us live for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. This live streaming talk show features the latest on Alabama athletics with exclusive conversations with Tide student athletes, coaches, and media members giving their perspective on the Crimson Tide. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, and X, with all conversations archived as well on the Alabama Insider Podcast. Roll Tide with Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. If you missed last night's edition of Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Look out for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms through early tonight. The high today, 82. Tonight's low, 66. For tomorrow, partially sunny with only a small chance of a shower. The high, 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We got a lot to do. We got the North River Lawn, the Weed Eater Pick of the Week, coming up here in just a few minutes. He's 1-1, Jason is. If you need lawn care, then I highly recommend Jason and his group over there. They do a great job for Dad and I. They'll come in and cut that grass on a regular basis. You need pine straw, you need shrubbery, whatever you need. These guys, they work hard, they take great care of you. They're very professional. 205-535-5290 North River Lawn Care. I'll have that pig here in just 1 second. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. How are y'all?
Right. How are you?
Okay.
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. Tomorrow's Ryder Cup, my friend.
Woo! It'll be fun.
12 minutes after 6, the first ball will be hit.
I got Jerry Pate on Friday.
Yes, sir. Say that again, Coach. I'm sorry.
I got Jerry Pate on Friday, and he was on the 81 Ryder Cup with Jack Nicholson and Lee Trevino, and I thought it'd be very interesting to have him on. I know we got to get football guy on. I've tried to get what's his name, well, the player on, but I haven't been able to yet. But he's going to be on. He's over in Mississippi, and I talked to him last night, and. And they won it in 81 with Jack and Trevino and himself and several of them. So I thought it'd be interesting.
Great choice. And he played well with that team. But I called in to talk Ryder Cup, and I wanted to steer you in a direction there's an article on ESPN.com on the cup. It's called the competition for the cup. It's on the front page, and it's like five or six lines down under the articles there. But it is a great article on Keegan Bradley. I think that he has done a masterful job of managing this group and bringing them. And coach, in that article, he takes Bryson and he brings him to the forefront, and you can tell he has set every other player down. Saying, now listen, this guy's quirky. This guy's got a weird way compared to the rest of us, but he's on our team, and we're going to use him because he can knock the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, to our advantage.
And,
yeah.
That's right. And he has brought them. Every one of them fell in line saying the right things. I want you to read it, and tomorrow I'm going to call in, and I want to get it, see if you see the same thing I saw.
Where is it, Tom? Where is it, Tom?
ESPN.com.
Okay, I'll
think those guys, I think they respect Bryson's work ethic. You know, like Dustin Johnson, I think they lost respect for him. He got over the lift, took the money, stopped working. I think these guys do have respect for Bryson and how hard he works and how important golf is to him, that the money and the lift did not change him. And I think that says something to these guys that are on his team.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
Well, I've got a different take on it than that, but...
What is your take?
My take is that Keegan is the key here. And Coach, did you know Keegan, his aunt's Pat Bradley? Did you know that?
His aunt's Pat Bradley, yeah. Yeah, I heard him say that yesterday.
Yeah. Anyway, my take is that Bryson has made a fortune off of this social media thing that he's been doing for 2 years, okay? And to do that, you become self-centered. You become self-centered. But Keegan took him, and he talked to him too, Coach. It's obvious. Because he started flying to the weekend and having dinner with all the Ryder Cup guys that were in tournaments, building a relationship with him. Because Keegan Bradley told him, that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. And I believe he asserted his leadership over Bryson and these other whippersnappers. And he's brought them together, and they're singing the same song from the same songbook. Now, I'm here to tell you.
Well, he got to the edge last year when he got the phone call it turned down. He had been to the edge some degree, but he really got to the edge last year about, I'm almost there, but every goddamn time I think I'm gonna get in or do something with the Ryder Cup, I lose out. And the people that made the promise to make him, not promise, but decided to select him. It was big, I think, and certainly came out big. And he made a very good speech yesterday, and that doesn't mean they're gonna play well. That doesn't mean anything. But I think the biggest thing is the pairings of your team, and everybody gets along with everybody as best they can. It's always, you know, when you have personalities that are different and high strung, and some are not. It's not easy. It's like trying to coach a team, and that's what he's actually doing. So I think he's done a good job. Yes,
I do too. And that's what I wanted you to read, that article. Okay. And I would love to hear your take on in between the lines sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? And I think more and more I am loving the selection of Keegan Bradley as the captain. More and more.
Yeah. He's good. I think he's a good person, and I think he's a very good player. And I think he knows personalities, and I think also that he's selected several vice captains to be with him that are very, very smart guys. Jim Furyk and that bunch. And I think Jim Furyk's very good, so I'd be good.
How big is it if you're the captain and you are better than four of the players on the team. You're ranked number 10, and there's four players on the team that you you finished ahead of in the competition. Yeah. But you back out and say, you know what, my calling is the captain, not a player. That's pretty big.
Huge. If they win, they're going to say that was a great move. They lose, they're going to say he should have played. That's what we do, Tom.
Yeah, one person, though. You can't – well, you can't do that with one person in the Ryder Cup. One person don't lose.
I get it. Great stuff, Tom. I'm going to read that as well.
Do that. Because I'd like to – y'all coaching and all that. I think y'all could add something to what we don't necessarily get out of the article like that. See you tomorrow. Bye.
See you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Chase. Chase, you up? Chase. All right, the North River Lawn Care, the pick of the week is going to be, he looked at that Florida State game. He's one. Jason's 1-1. He did hit the Miami game last week. He's saying take Tennessee. Take Tennessee minus the 7. Now, that could be the blue plate as well. A lot of people look at that pick. A lot of people look at it. Sometimes that worries you. But take Tennessee minus the 7.5, and we'll see how he does. But also, give he and his staff a call there. They'll absolutely get your lawn looking beautiful. So give them a call, 205-535-5290. All right, Dad, let's tell them about Bryant Bank, and then we'll get to break.
Well, Bryant Bank, the four banks we talk about in the Tuscaloosa area throughout the state of Alabama are very, very good, and they'll do everything they possibly can to do a good job of your personal business account, and be darn sure they take care of your money. I think that's big. You got to have your money taken care of, and they do that, then they be sure that nobody's doing something with, you know, bad advice for you, and I think that's great. They'll be a kind of bank that's interested in the schools that surround that bank, and they'll be the kind of people that can help you when you have a problem. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard them Inside the Locker Room.
All right, so that pick, Chase, let's get that tweeted out. -7.5, Tennessee, that half sometimes can bite you. Sometimes they say buy the half down, you make your decision on that. We get back the vinegar tip of the week, or not the week, this Thursday when we get back from break. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC, is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Traffic is moving at posted speed for the most part, with the exception of a fender bender we have. Highway 69 southbound after McPherson Landing Road. Do watch out for this this accident there. And it doesn't look like it's causing a huge to-do, but it is causing a bit of a tap on the brake.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more, or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Hope you got those toilet bowls looking clean. I'm going to pour some in my toilets tonight where they're looking good for the weekend. This vinegar tip for this Thursday brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, located 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200. That's right there next to Talbot's. You know you're going shopping at Talbot's. Right across from Indian Hills there. Go see Michael and his crew, 752-8500. What is the vinegar tip for this Thursday?
Well, everybody's going to like this one, just about everybody, because it's a bigger tip about removing fleas from your pets. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody has pets, just about. I do. I have one that I care a lot about, and I know Barry does, and a lot of people do. And so those pets get those fleas, and they get those funguses, and they get all kind of mess from rolling around in the grass and so forth. Apple cider vinegar can be used to reduce the itching and repel the fleas. And here's something that you didn't realize. Save you money, too. You can bathe your pets with liquid dish detergent. Liquid dish detergent. And then you can rinse it with apple cider vinegar. The liquid detergent kills the fleas, and the apple cider vinegar prevents a reinfection. So the fleas do not like the scent or the flavor of the vinegar, and they won't remain on the animal. So dab your apple cider vinegar on the back of your pet's neck day after each day for protection. The vinegar will also help reduce itching and allergies, and it'll just be very, very good for the nerves of your dog. So as a bonus, the vinegar rinse will make the pet soft and shiny. Boy, is that a great pet. Is that a great tip today? I mean, that's a great tip. Yeah, you get you some detergent, save a little money there. You don't have to go buy anything very expensive there. Get you a little apple cider vinegar, and that'll make him feel soft and smell good, and there'll be all those fleas and all that mess will be gone. That's one of the great tips I've ever made, because I love my dog.
Also, Chase, we need to get a lawyer number real quick. We need a lawyer ad. Because that dog bites you when you put that apple cider vinegar on there. You're going to be trying to sue our show for getting bit.
You don't get a dog that bites.
Sam doesn't bite. All right. All dogs.
Sam's a perfect dog.
Bites. So that puts a little vinegar in your dog.
Now Sam will gawk, but she will bark and keep you away from bothering anybody. But when it gets down to it, she's all barking, no bite.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the vinegar tip. There you go, Michael. I don't know if you have a pet, but if you don't, then if you ever get one, you may have a pet. I don't know. But now your pet won't have fleas. So take some of that vinegar. Put on your pet.
I need to give that tip every day.
Oh, yeah. All right. So give Michael's crew a call, 205-752-8500. We'll take this last break, get back. We'll tease this Blue Plate special for tomorrow, which is obviously brought to you by our great friend Brian Hart. We'll tell you a little bit about Brian also when we get back. Also got time for a phone call or 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Thursday morning at 9 a.m., the coach Ellis Johnson will join us to break down SEC football, including the massive showdown between the Tide and the Dogs over in Athens on Saturday night. Plus, Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340, and your phone calls. That's Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Traffic is moving at posted speed for the most part, with the exception of a fender bender we have. Highway 69 southbound after McPherson Landing Road. Do watch out for this accident there. And it doesn't look like it's causing a huge to-do, but it is causing a bit of a tap.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. Look out for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms through early tonight. The high today, 82. Tonight's low, 66. For tomorrow, partially sunny with only a small chance of a shower. The high, 81. I'm James. span with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. The Blue Plate Special will be released tomorrow. It's brought to you by Brian Harden and Brian Harden Construction. Don't hold him responsible for these picks, but they are 4-2. So when you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel, 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. Brian Harden Construction. All right. What are a few games you're kind of peeking at for the weekend?
Well, I've looked at that Tennessee State game. I kind of like it. I've seen a lot of players that I've liked and hadn't signed them. So I've seen a lot of games that I've liked and hadn't selected them. But I am looking at that one. It's interesting. A Louisville game is a little bit interesting to me. I forget what the line is on that. I've got it written down over here. That's one. That's a game that I'm interested in. A little bit with Kansas State and Central Florida. Pretty interesting there. I forget what it is, 6-4. You can look at it and see. I'm always off a half a point. So those are the two or three of the games.
At Louisville, at Pittsburgh, Louisville is a 5.5-point favorite there.
And Central Florida and Kansas State is games at Kansas State, I believe.
Kansas State is a 6.5-point favorite there at home against the Knights. So, all right, well.
Knights have been scoring a lot.
We'll give you some time to think about it. And then tomorrow, Brian Harden will help you release it, and we'll see if you can go 5-2. Nobody's real high on Doug's pick, so maybe this will be how he does it. We got the Weed Eater pick. It's out. And so -7.5 there with Tennessee. I think a lot of people will be on Tennessee this weekend. So
yeah, I think so. That's going to be some of those games. It was a little bit like the Clemson LSU game. Everybody's on Clemson. It was over. It wasn't any use. I was so good, I was scared of it, and it backfired on them. So,
That happens. That's why they call it gambling. All right, that's it for today's show. We'll get out of here tonight. You got college football. Army will take on East Carolina. East Carolina will be traveling to Tuscaloosa next year, so if you want to see what the Tide's going to be up against, you can watch the Pirates tonight. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in here all day long. Thank you, Chase. Have a great day. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great, safe day, everybody.